listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank. This is Corey.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JK3.
All right, we're back today to talk a little bit about the big announcement today from the Jaguars about downtown development, which is pretty exciting, and some other initiatives they had around the city. But we did have a quick announcement that we wanted to make, that we are going forward part of the Blue Wire podcast network platform. So I just wanted to kind of open that up and get your guys' thoughts on our future with Blue Wire and the impressions that we've had so far working with those guys.
I love it, man. I love it. It's shout out to Blue Wire. You know, thank you for the opportunity. Just to really want to for them having that presence here in Jacksonville and giving some good content to Jags fans and have the great atmosphere on the podcast ship. So shout out to Blue Wire again, and hey, let's just keep going.
Yeah, definitely good, man, to be a part of a podcast network where we can go ahead and get that content out, you know, to more audiences, more NFL fans. You know, I think it's just awesome, you know, that they did step up and decided to bring Down by the Bank on. So, yeah, super excited, man, and pumped to continue to give more and good quality content, especially now that, you know, the Jags got, you know, Trevor and ETN. Maybe it won't be so lonely in the offseason now.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be great. And definitely Derek hit it on the head in terms of potentially expanding the folks out there that'll be able to, you know, tune in and find our podcast. Especially with the fact that the team is going to, you know, I'm assuming be doing dramatically better, or at a minimum, getting a lot more attention outside of just Jacksonville with all the stuff that we have going on. So, just check out bluewirepods.com if you guys want to learn more about them. But we'll be sure to talk more in the future, and you'll hear more from Blue Wire. And, you know, it's a good network. There's a lot of other good podcasts on the network for other teams, including NFL teams, including some folks that we've worked with in the past and did some crossover episodes with. So I think you guys will like it, and you'll be seeing a lot more from us, or hearing a lot more from us going forward as well. So that's pretty exciting.
But regardless, still leave those 5-star reviews. Still leave those.
Yeah. Don't make them think they made a mistake. So we got to keep the positivity going, because we got a couple in the last few days. Actually, we're keeping, you know, I think you made the point before we got on that we'd not recorded for a while, and then we got all this love when we got back on, and that was awesome. We really appreciate that.
Man, I tell you what, it's nothing better than, you know, football season and talking about your favorite pro team. And, you know what, we're 97 days away from kickoff. You really don't realize. I was telling the missus that, hey, if you really think about it, they're about to break from OTAs in about a week or so. They might have some things here or there, and then in like 6 weeks, they're going to be back. You know, mid-July, you know, they don't start really practicing, but around mid-July, they're going to start showing up again. And then around late July is when they really get going. So everybody's going to get their summer vacations out of the way, enjoy this weather, enjoy some vaccine and getting out and actually doing something for the summer, because it's been a long 15, 16 months, and get ready for a good fan-filled football season. So I'm excited for everything that's going on in Jacksonville with the team.
Yeah. Personally, I can't wait to be smushed up against people between quarters, going down to get a drink, and, you know, smushed up against people in the urinals in the men's bathroom like old days.
Hey, man.
Just a little too much space.
You got to learn how to create. You got to learn how to create elbow room. When you hit there, you got to walk with your elbows out now.
When I was younger, a funny story, my dad used to always tell me, like, when we'd go to restrooms like that, he said, son, you got to make yourself into an A. So you got to, you know, make that's how you get the appropriate elbow room.
Yeah. I still am, you know, I would say, as we go through these announcements that the Jags made and Shad Khan made, you know, barriers for the stalls and the urinals, I think that'd be a good investment, possibly. You know, we might want to throw that in there.
I mean, Honestly, when I saw, and I'm sure we'll get to it, but one of the key points when they were talking about some of the stadium renovations, they said that there needed to be shade for every seat. Hallelujah, like came on. I was just thinking, like, it's finally here. I can't believe that, you know. But I don't know. Again, these are renderings, so we can't get too caught up in the renderings because, you know, we are the probably, 12-time renderings champions of the NFL. So,
That's true. Do you remember the shade idea that they had a couple years back where they had those little contraptions that they were trying that were, like, hooked onto the back of the seats and were, like, right over top of the seat so that, like, you couldn't see if you were in the seat behind it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Do you remember that, Derek? They had that. They were trying that out for a few seasons. If anybody remembers that, that's listening, shoot us a tweet. Maybe if somebody has a picture of that, that'd be great. Because they were doing this like test where they had these devices hooked to the chairs where it would put a shade over top of you, but it would completely block the view of like the people behind you. And it was like, I thought it was completely a catastrophic idea. I hope that's not what they're talking about when they're mentioning the shade concept, but. You know, this announcement came out, JK3, I think you were the one that gave us the heads up on it first. Like this just kind of came about a day or so ago, a couple days.
Yeah, they were pretty tight-lipped about it. I heard of the notification. I saw it on Twitter. I think it was like Tuesday, today's Thursday, right? So it was Wednesday, maybe. It was Wednesday midday I saw it, and it was just one of those things that just kind of popped up. And, you know, one of the things that I like now about this new regime is that some of the things that they are going to do in some of these announcements are kind of more kept tight-lipped up until maybe, 12, 13 hours before you're able to actually do it. So that's one of the things that I do like, that they've really been able to. And again, this looks more practical. I would say that some of the improvements and some of the revitalization that they're doing around, within the area, it does make Jacksonville more of a destination piece. And for someone that has traveled to, multiple away games, I think it's one of the advantages that some of the cities do have is that there's stuff to do and places to stay within the urban core of where you are. You don't have to go too far. You don't have to get, taxed in Ubers on driving different places and everything else like that. And I think that this is just going to be another advantage of making Jacksonville, or maybe a foundation of making, coming to the games more of a destination, more of the places to actually stay. I mean, if you think about downtown right now, if you were to come to a Jacksonville Jaguars, away game, if you were a fan from out of town, like, where would you stay downtown? I mean, a lot of people can't afford to stay, at the Omni. You can't really afford to stay, at some of those places down there. So most of the people, go out to the beach, or you have to go to Arlington, or, a couple other places that are, a good Uber ride away. And I think that, not saying that, a Four Seasons is going to kill you, it's pretty expensive, but I mean, it's another option, it's another option that you have actually down there. And I think for, some of the other businesses that are looking to do, they mentioned that there was another office building that they're looking to kind of bring in, a more of a football focused facility too. I think it'll be, a good option for them.
Derek, when you saw the news about the press conference that was scheduled for today, what were your first thoughts as to what it would be without knowing what it is after looking at the PowerPoint deck and all that? But what did you think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be, past experiences just tells you, okay, here we go again. But there's a different feel about this. We talked about the being tight-lipped, one. Two, there's more of a focus. I don't think they presented it well last time as far as the touch, as far as the marketing for making sure you attend. I think social media, they really, they were really pushing it when they started announcing it. So before it was like everybody wait for the Lot J press conference and we're going to see the fight between city council and the mayor's office and let's see who wins. We knew that and there was none of that. There was none of that kind of just, let's just wait and see. It was more like, okay, yeah. But now that it's over, you take a look at the deck, you take a look at the information that's out there and is available. Okay, what is this really going to look like? is this really a possibility? So that's what I'm. The some of the unknowns were exciting, but then you sit back and you say to yourself, well, okay, we've been down this road before. It's got a different feel to it though, but we've been down this road before. So yeah. Let's see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I thought maybe it was just going to be about the future plans related to the stadium strictly, and it was good to see that there was some information in there about the stadium. But after the fact, it does make a lot of sense, because I think there are people saying that Urban Meyer, and maybe this was reported and it's factual, I don't know, but people said that Urban Meyer actually like negotiated part of this as part of his deal, I guess, to have like a premier practice facility or something like that.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. It's when you think about football only facilities for NFL fans that don't watch college football, that is all they're talking about in big time college football, football only facilities. It's a big reason why FSU fans, Jimbo is not there. It's a big reason why Alabama continues to kill it, because I think they were the first to do it. And every major college football program is now giving those teams and kids football only facilities where they live, eat, sleep, and they only have to leave when they go to class or if they go out. So when you think about it from an NFL perspective, yeah, there's some teams that have some nice NFL practice fields or nice NFL, you know, whether it's locker room, player only, facilities, but this is going to be kind of a state-of-the-art first class, because that's what colleges have. Think about it. There are colleges that have nicer things than an NFL team.
Well, I mean, you can't. Like, I mean, you got to look at Bama, who their donors are. You got to look at your Floridas. You got to look at your Oregons, who those donors are and everything. So, I mean, I'm sure if there was a checkbook that, you know, Shad could probably write and get something like that, he would. But – To counteract that, Jerry Jones does it. So
yeah. So it's and basically, and I know there's donors. There's, you know, Texas A&M. You know, they raised like $150 million to do theirs, something ridiculous, all private money, and that's fine. This is going to be city taxpayer money, well, at least half of it. But point is, when Urban came here, you know, you got to take a look at things. It's been the same since 95.
Yeah.
The only thing that has changed is Daly's Place. And the most exciting thing at Daly's Place is AEW, not even the Jags. So you tell me, if you're Urban Meyer, like, hey, okay, if I'm going to come here, we got to make some changes. And this is one of the things I want to do.
And I think also too, you know, as I used to work for the Jags. So being able to see where the play, like being only like a door away from where the players were, you know, I can feel and I can sense how that doesn't really give them a sense of entitlement. You know what I mean? Like when I would go there on Saturdays or Sundays to roll up t-shirts, we were in like the offensive line meeting room. You know, like we would see like some notes and some of the things like that that were on the offensive line and some of their game plans and some of the zone blocking techniques and things like that. You know, even their weight room is you walk in, you take a right and it's just right there. You know what I mean? So I think their weight room right now, as far as equipment wise, you know, it would be. You know, it would be something similar to what's at like a Bailey's Gym right now. You know what I mean? So nothing like completely like earth shattering. I think some of the places that were a little bit more off limits as far as like the training rooms and things like that within the locker room, you know, those things we, you know, didn't really have kind of access to. But another thing too that you got to think about is like if they are practicing, if they're coming to the stadium to practice, if they're coming to the stadium to watch film, if they're coming to the stadium, you know, for rehab and things like that, actually on the grounds of the stadium, you know, when it comes game time, it's just like, oh, it's just another day. We're just here right now. You know what I mean? So the only thing that really kind of changes mentally from that perspective is that the fans and the crowds and things like that are there. It's not one of those things where you're actually showing up to the game day. You're not actually showing up to the office, or you're showing up back to the same place that you already are all week. You know, it's like getting pumped to go to work when you already go to work. You know?
Yeah.
You know? So I think having a football only facility, one, creates that exclusivity, two, creates that camaraderie. And I think, you know, having something where only people that need to be there and supposed to be there are there. You know, you think about it, like Monster Jam would always come to the stadium. You know, it's not like it was theirs, you know?
Yeah, that's actually really good points. I didn't even think about it from that perspective, honestly. And then kind of, you know, looking at the PowerPoint deck that Derek had sent over, the Football Performance Center slide really kind of hits on all of that. Where exactly is this relative to the stadium? Is it going on top of where the current practice fields are during training camp? Is that?
It is. It is, yeah. You know, and I'm sure there are NFL teams that have very nice practice facilities that, you know, we can't even, you know, think of. I think Tampa has a nice one.
Tampa's facility is off Dallas.
Yeah. You know, so, but it's never been a term that you've heard in Jacksonville until Urban Meyer got here, you know, or not a phrase, excuse me, not a term, a phrase. It's never been a phrase you've heard until Urban Meyer got here.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Many teams practice where they play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or get dressed where they play. You know what I mean?
Very, very few do. So, I mean, there's some teams they practice. I think in Atlanta, it's like Flowery Branch, Georgia, or something like that. It's way the heck out there, yeah, away from the Georgia Dome. And they have a nice facility, you know, but you don't hear of it as a football only facility. You just hear of it as the Atlanta Falcons practice facility. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's going to, hopefully it's something that, you know, ends up working out very well. And let's see what city council can do as far as the votes. And I think, you know, I think it's going to do just fine because we're actually seeing, you know, there's apparently information and data out there. They're showing where the money is flowing to, which is what the problem was last time. The money was, you know, the money wasn't just, it wasn't adding up.
Right.
We'll see.
This also does look, it looks more functional. Remember like a couple of years ago when they had that rendering of like the double decker field and like the top of the field was where, no way it's happening, you know? So some of these things actually do look a little bit more realistic and a little bit more practical. And I think that, you know, creating, you know, the football only facility is a big thing too, but another piece that I liked, too, is the office building and the office space that they're looking at bringing into and having, you know, a couple of the floors there be for, you know, Jacksonville Jaguar staff and personnel. Obviously, I think it was like a 6-floor building. The top 2 floors would be, occupied by the Jags, and the remaining bottom floors would be businesses that do business with the Jaguars, which I think would be, you know, completely awesome to have, because another thing that, you know, these places don't really have is like when you come to meetings and want to come to meetings, you know, within the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, most of the times you're either meeting upstairs in one of the concourses where in the club suites, you know, they do have some sort of meeting rooms. But I think from a business development perspective, too, it's going to be really good to be able to have a place where you actually have dedicated meeting rooms and, you know, dedicated places. And then, you know, being able to have some of your tenants close, you know, while you are working with them in some of the other places too, could really, you know, mean well for business development as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, you guys are really, you know, selling this thing pretty well, honestly. I think the Jags should actually consider putting you guys on the team to sell this to city council, I think. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean,
I'm a believer.
This way too, it's still going to be close. You know, it's still going to be one of the facilities that's not, you know, not far away from the stadium, because it's of course just, you know, a rock's throw away. I mean, I just looked it up just to see in Atlanta, it's 45 minutes from Flowery Branch. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah.
To where Mercedes-Benz Stadium
is. Really?
It's a 45 minute drive. Yeah. 985. Everywhere in Atlanta is a 45 minute to an hour drive.
I think the Star, where the Cowboys, where their football stuff is pretty far away. The only one that I've been to and actually seen where it was actually, you know, relatively close is with the Bucks, With Tampa Bay, theirs is literally like a parking lot away. It's a big parking lot, don't get me wrong, but it's a parking lot away from where the actual stadium is. So if anyone's been to Tampa, you've got Raymond James Stadium, and then you've got that huge Buccaneers flag. And then like to the left of that is like their actual football offices. So, I mean, that's relatively close as well. So I think the bigger thing too, and I think a lot of the development that needs to, I think the Jaguars need to actually get away, from is trying to get people to quote unquote come downtown. You know, like I think if you just make it practical and make it more, you know, I think it'll all take care of itself. Like when you try too hard, that's when it doesn't happen. But if you actually build practical things and actual make, you know, practical, you know, buildings with, you know, really good, you know, intentions and really good things behind it, I think all that stuff will come, you know, within this building right here, this office building they have, who knows? There could be some sort of, you know, maybe food hall or a couple other restaurants within there that would make some of the downtown tenants actually come to there to eat. You know, I that's just my thing. I think a lot of the times too, even within them redeveloping the landing, you always get the, oh, this isn't going to make me come downtown for that. It's just like, I feel like sometimes some of the boroughs here in Jacksonville are all against each other on not wanting to leave when most places should be actually more unified in actually making it more of a destination city and more of a places. Like I understand Riverside, people don't want to really leave Riverside. San Marco doesn't really want to leave, you know, San Marco or anything else like that. But I think everyone needs to kind of really just be more in tune with like uniting the borough. And if something comes to downtown, like, you know, we should be flooding it instead of saying, oh, well, that's not going to make me come to downtown. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I will say like the feedback that I always get at work, especially from people who are not from Jacksonville and they're from bigger cities, is that they're always shocked by how divisive every idea is about developing the downtown area and how we have so much potential and real estate to do so many cool things. But it's like everything's constantly a debate and they're just shocked that it's that way here. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we're going to be, I don't know what it's going to take to turn the corner where we start trying to embrace becoming a bigger city, or if that's the reason people are fighting it because they don't want to become a bigger city. But, you know, I don't know. I think the city council is part of it. I don't, you know, I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but
it's the old guard, man. I mean, you know, we've talked, anybody that's, you know, been in this city 20 years or longer knows good and well, the old guard, remnants of it kind of still exist, but it's going away. We're getting to a younger generation of citizens, of taxpayers, in all, let's say, five counties, Nassau, Duval, Clay, St. John's, Baker, whatever the fifth one is.
Baker, who's going on?
I don't know. But four or five counties. I'm messing one up. I know I am. But point is, it's a younger generation of citizens that want to see this city grow. Want to see the city succeed. That's what you have. And the one thing we can do is vote.
Yeah.
That's our thing. So not to get into politics, but that's what we can do. So at the end of the day,
Derek, the other thing too is each of us could run for city council seats. I'm just, you know, that'd be pretty cool.
But that's it. We just want to see the team grow and do well. And you know, dang it, you know, this is all nice and shiny. And I know this is what we're talking about, but I'd really just like to win. You know, if they decline this and we won seven games, I think I'd be happy still.
So, yeah, I mean, but then again, though, winning does cure all. I mean, you got to look and see what Indy was before Peyton got to Indy. It was nothing. Now Indianapolis is, I'm not saying it wasn't nothing, but Indianapolis is, you know, it's a hustle and bustle. It's a nice town. They've got a bunch of things to do. Their downtown infrastructure is completely built up. And, you know, hopefully if Trevor and the current regime right now does have that effect on Jacksonville, this, we'll look back on this in the archives and be like, wow, we were really talking about that.
Sure.
Winning really does cure all, in my opinion. I think that, you know, when you win, I mean, look at Patriots Place right now. Like, no one was going, you know, to Foxborough to do anything else but to watch the Patriots play. now Foxborough is the destination. You go there, you go there to, you know, see your team, you go there to eat, you go there to stay. Same thing what they're doing in Atlanta. You know, even though the Braves have choked in the playoffs the last couple of years, but, you know, they are a winning product on the team. And then they have, you know, that generational standpoint too. That's another thing that we are missing too, as far as Jacksonville Jaguar fans goes. I mean, you know, everyone that's a diehard fan and that is around our age, the team came to Jacksonville in, you know, 1995. So everyone was probably in like fourth or fifth grade whenever that happened, maybe third, depending on where you are. And now, so the folks that are actually able to be, one, taxpaying citizens, two, diehard fans that are really going to love the team and, you know, no matter what, still support them. And as long as we continue to support the team and continue to come in, all that's going to change. But as now that regime of us being able to actually afford season tickets to come in, you know, more of the older population, they're not going to the games now because of the sun and things like that. So as long as we are continuing to, you know, kind of pump in the money and continue to support the team and continue to bring in all these things, that's just only going to make it, you know, even better also.
Yeah, no, I think that makes total sense. In fact, when it comes to the winning piece of what you talked about, the first bulletin point on the PowerPoint deck is host a Super Bowl parade in Duval. And that's their first goal. So I think they, you know, they get that. I think they understand that that's super important to really kind of push the further development of downtown and continue to bring more attention to Jacksonville. And, you know, back to, and you kind of encompass both of the points there, not only the winning piece of it, but also what Derek hit on in terms of the younger generation. I mean, I don't know how much we want to hit on the Jaguars participating with the local schools to buy the new uniforms for the school name changes. But, you know, that's part of that. That's part of the newer generation coming up and making a big difference in the community and the younger folks. And the Jaguars are part of that. And I think that I think it's just an awesome thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, supporting some of those name changes and, you know, being more entrenched in the community. And I think also, too, the Jags have been doing a ton more of community work as far as, you know, developing the areas around Jackson or around the stadium that a lot of people actually call home and a lot of people really spend that time to, you know, definitely going out, you know, out east. Going out to the east side of Jacksonville was one of those things that, you know, if you went, you know, you were out there for a certain reason. You weren't really going there to vacation or anything else like that. So this, for them to actually be committing to, you know, building and revitalizing, you know, the east side. And then also, you know, I think within this slide deck too, they're adopting Metropolitan Park, you know, yeah, which is right across the street, you know, under that overpass that they took down. But yeah, that's another area. But all of this kind of seems like no-brainers to me, at least. And I'm not the brightest, you know, crayon in the box. I feel like these are all no-brainers for you to develop and take care of the areas that are surrounding the stadium so that when, you know, it does come time to host game days or does come time to host, you know, AEW or any other concerts or any events or anything else like that, like you have, you know, areas that are, you know, more welcoming and more appealing to crowds.
Sure. That makes total sense. Did you guys see any kind of, well, of course it's in there, but I know JK3, you watched it live, but what kind of timetable are we looking at for all these different initiatives? Did they hit on that?
I guess these are all coming after W's.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that what they said? Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't think they did. I don't think they gave a timetable. But, you know, we'll find out. I mean, you can always, you know, go on the COJ and look up the next city council meeting. I'm sure they're going to start talking about it.
I think they talked about the stadium renovations, you know, starting in like phases after next season or either during this season so that the Jaguars don't have to practice or like do any construction while they are like currently in season. I don't know if all the money and all the other things like that are in place for them to even begin developing on, you know, the Four Seasons Hotel. I think I saw something on the Four Seasons being constructed in about like 18 or now probably about 2 years, I think, okay, you know, within that. So, but yeah, no definite like timetable of saying that, you know, we'll have this done by like 2022 or 2023 or anything like that. At least I didn't see.
So, in other words, if we win two games next year and Urban Meyer retires, then it's probably going to be put off.
For sure. It'll just go into the Hall of Fame of renderings.
But yeah, I think that's really funny. Yeah, no, I think that's really funny, the Hall of Fame of renderings thing, because I think we were even talking earlier about the renderings of like Daily Place originally compared to what's there now. And I like it. Don't get me wrong. I think Daily Place is cool, and I think it turned out fine. But I remember the renderings of that looking much more futuristic and fancier.
I thought I was going to a spaceship.
You're really right about the well, and you mentioned the double decker practice field. I remember that too. Yeah, that was.
Where the heck are they going to put this? If they make this happen, this will be amazing. I would just literally just go down and marvel at the sheer structure of a double decker field. Like that, that would be just the amazing thing. I can tell you one thing though that I didn't really care about is that they mentioned that there was more vertical transportation. And I thought that was really cool how they said vertical transportation to the seats in the stadium. I was like, man, you boys, I'm in the lower bowl. I'm not worried about, hey, I'm upgraded. I'm not going up there anymore. Facing
the sun. What does that mean? Vertical transportation.
So like basically, the escalators are terrible. The escalators are terrible. And if you've ever walked up the ramp, it's a steep spiral that just keeps going forever and ever. It's great for people watching though. When after the game, walking down, gravity just takes toll and it's just over.
You never taken one of those escalators up, man?
Nah, man. Nah, I don't.
Man, like it's like a bad carnival ride, Corey. Yeah. Okay. Like you look.
I've been on the escalator.
Over the side, man. The only thing that's missing is the only thing is missing is the stale smell of popcorn when you're on those escalators.
Oh, that's there. that's there. And then they also talking about the rodents. There was a thing too that there was a rodent, I guess, within the revitalization of the stadium. Things Lamping was just like, yeah, you know, things happen. You know, water gets in cracks and ceilings start falling out, and you know there's rodent infestation. I was like, bro, what are you running, man? You can't be saying this. Even though I've heard rumors that the rats that are in the bank right now are ridiculous.
Really?
I hear after the game, it's like looking at Master Splinter and the Ninja Turtles.
We need to have an episode just about the rat epidemic in the stadium. That sounds kind of interesting. I've never heard that before. I do know, not to just keep talking, I feel like I make the Jaguars stadium bathrooms like my entire focus of every podcast, but it'd be nice if it didn't feel like it was like flooding every time you walk in there too. You know what I mean?
That's every men's restroom, man. That's
man. Just be lucky there's urinals instead of a trough or whatever it is. The old school stadiums, man.
Yeah.
Those flooded. It makes it even worse, man.
I'll tell you those predictions. What's the reporter everybody retweets? Because he had the tweet that said that like we would be in London by 2021 or whatever. Was that Jason Lockenfora? I think
I don't know if it was him, but everyone, Jason Lockenfora, they're going to name a water treatment plant here. I swear, man, he keeps going on Jacksonville and they are just continually just going in after him. I don't get it, but I mean it's good, but it shows that they're here to stay. I was a little worried that when they started playing games in London and when we went on those that streak, I mean, well, we're still currently on the streak of losing more games than we do win. But, you know, I thought the writing was for sure on the wall. I really did. But, you know, it's just tough to, you know, believe in a businessman that, you know, is not that came in. I think Khan has done the best that he could as far as, you know, doing some of the revitalization, some of the things that he's invested in here in Jacksonville, some of the local places. I do want them to upgrade the stadium food, though. I don't know who I need to send a email to or something like that. But in my opinion, man, I just don't think that our stadium food isn't that good. I mean, granted, by the time I tailgate, so no one makes better food than I do. But I'm just saying, like, if I did want to come in, you know, I shouldn't have to be reduced to like chicken tenders and fries, you know, or teal hot dog buns.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right. Especially ones that rats have been around previously that we weren't aware of.
Oh, geez.
I didn't know about that. Derek, what did you think about the one proposal that the Jacksonville Skyway would actually drive you over to your seats?
Let's actually get something approved first and then see some construction. Then we'll talk about the Skyway getting you to your seats.
What I don't get is how they were able to completely wipe out a overpass like it was a Michael Bay movie. and then it's just there. Like they just stopped. They cleared out an entire, like it was before they started using it, people were driving on that. It wasn't like it was abandoned. They just cleared out and over.
It is weird.
I used to drive on that thing when I was coming. When we were living over in the apartment over off Touchton, man, I used to drive over on that thing all the time, downtown to my office. And it would spit you out right there. Right there, not on Monroe because it was the next street over, and I'd get over the Forsyth, and then on the way back home, you jump on Monroe and you hit the bridge, and you're smelling the coffee and headed to the Matthews Bridge or not the Matthews, the Hart Bridge. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's definitely when you look at the plans, and it's funny how we were talking about this before, how the Atkins Construction Group announces their plans for the landing the same week that the Jags and the city announced, you know, the Jags announced the plans for that side too. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying anything, but it's just funny how both of them do it on the same week. Okay.
Conspiracy.
Not conspiracy. I would say
cue X-Files music.
No, I don't think. Let me put on my tin hat. Having those rats in the stadium—that's a conspiracy. Okay, that's a conspiracy. But no, it's just—it's exciting. But let's see something. Okay, all this talk—you know—we got a lot of talk going on, and I just need to see something. So
I think the most realistic thing that we will see will be the football-only facility. I think that's the most realistic thing that will probably happen. The Four Seasons, like I said, I mean, it's another
maybe a Ramada,
or a La Quinta, maybe. but yeah, I mean, if it was something like that, then I would say for sure. But you know, we'll see what happens. But I think for sure the football only facility would go. I will tell you though, this is the first time I've seen on social media and some of the players that we have followed that they have retweeted and, you know, shared some of the renderings on their Instagram story, too. That's a first. So that gives me a little bit more hope that, you know, the football facility is going to actually be in place and they're actually brought in
or it's bought into any of it.
Yeah,
it's a different feeling with this announcement. And that's the good part. There's definitely people that want a lot of people that want to see this go through, but everybody's just kind of, you know, like, it's going to be the same thing that happens before, a little bit of negativity, but I'd say it's a different feeling. So I'm excited about it. And, you know, just we'll see. We'll see about that. We'll see about JK3's rat buddies down at the stadium. And
if they do bring in restaurants, man, and I'm not hungry or anything else like that, man. I just want the food to be better. Like, don't put in all this stuff and all these revitalization things and bring in a Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, bro, I could go anywhere and get a Buffalo Wild
Wing.
Or TGI Fridays, man. Just bring in some good quality things that are, you know, that are going to make me, you know, that are just going to make it fun to be downtown. The funniest the scooters are downtown right now and people are riding them nowhere. They're just riding them around.
Yeah, that's true.
There's nowhere to go.
That's true.
Nowhere to go. They're just riding the scooter. Intuition. They're going to Intuition. That's it. They're going to Intuition. Yeah. Maybe Bold City. But that's it. They're not going anywhere else. And every other city that I've been to, I see all my friends that are on like social media, like, oh, the scooters are here. The scooters are here. I'm like, where are y'all riding them to? You're just riding them downtown and just dumping them to do what? Get back in your car and go to Riverside?
Pretty much. Yeah. I rode one around the stadium once and then just put it back up. So
I just did a lap and just, all right, let me get my card number off here now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh man.
Where are you riding them to?
That's really funny.
Oh, geez. No, legitimately, though, like there's no way you're just riding.
I think it's just a novelty thing right now. I mean, yeah. Unless maybe somebody wants to correct us and tweet at us if there's, you know, a good scooter route that we're not aware of.
Or only ride in two places, either Intuition or Bold City. There's no there really isn't, or Myth, maybe if you're down there for the nightclub scene. Ride them to jail.
I don't know much about nightclubs, but I was leaving one of the baseball games, the Jumbo Shrimp game, and I don't remember the road, but I'm leaving downtown to get back on the bridge, and there's like a crazy looking nightclub with like lights coming everywhere, and it's like what are like the popular nightclubs down there? It had a line and there were lights coming. It looks like you almost walked down like an alley to get to it. It was
You're talking about Myth. Yeah. Myth is pretty cool.
Is that Myth? Okay.
Yeah, that is Myth. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a young whippersnapper place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just thought that was cool. I don't know.
Behind Myth, they have, I stumbled in there one time, but they have like this huge like back alley, and it's nothing but graffiti that looks really cool. It's on the other side of Calford Chop House. So Calford Chop House, there's an alley that runs in between those buildings, and there's some pretty cool graffiti and street art back there.
Okay. Have you been to Calford Chop House? Because I went there and spent my entire paycheck on dinner one time.
Man, too rich for my
clothes. So are you talking about where Myth is or down the street from Myth? Because Chop House, two blocks up.
Yeah, Myth and Calford Chop House, there's an alley that runs between both of them.
Well, no, Myth is down the block, man. Myth is down the block.
You just said it was two blocks away.
Two blocks, two blocks away. Myth is like two blocks away, then Calford's Chop House is on the corner there. Oh, I was literally picturing in my head, like, where the heck is he talking about? Because I know what you're talking about, but I was like, that's not there. That's further down. The graffiti part.
Are we making a scooter route right now? Is this the route?
Hey, we could be making a scooter route. Hey, we could be. We could be.
All right.
No, I don't know. It's been a year and some change since I've been downtown on a regular basis. So it's going to be good to get back and see these things. And, maybe I'll try one of those scooters for lunch and you guys will see me on the news busting my behind.
They're fun. 15 miles an hour on those scooters with no helmet feels pretty fast, actually. You know what I mean? Like, because it feels kind of dangerous almost riding down there.
Oh, geez.
And TIA Bank Field's parking lot is the perfect place to kind of play around with a little bit, you know, outside of the season, obviously. I wonder how they're going to handle those in season, by the way. You're going to have people riding those things all over the place. It's going to be chaos. That's just a great way to get from parking like down to the stadium.
Other city, just like any other city, you ride them on the sidewalks. You just look out for the people, and that's it.
Okay, yeah. So then how about this? We do a pod and a video episode of Jaguar scooters during Florida Georgia weekend. Okay,
yeah. I like that. Hey, that could be its own podcast.
Yeah, that could be its own podcast. And JK3 could be the live correspondent with his helmet GoPro he has for.
Yeah,
I'm not allowed to go to Florida Georgia. I'm good. No.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
look, there's one of the scooters in the retention pond. That's probably not a good joke. All right. So, yeah, big announcement today. Really good stuff. If you guys have thoughts on your end that you'd like to kind of throw out there to us, please tweet us at Down by the Bank on Twitter. As always, please, please, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. A couple came in the last few days, and that just really means a lot to us. Thanks again to the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and we'll have more information on that coming up soon as well. And otherwise, we appreciate you guys listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.